Blog Talk Radio. Well, shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Jaina. How is everyone doing today on this Sunday? First day of the week. Glad you guys are here. If you can hear me, please push one. Somebody. Shalom, shalom. Anybody push one. Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Yeah, this is another edition of the Yehuda Project Block Talk Radio Show, and we are glad to be here. Of course, you know, we have enjoyed our Sabbath class, and I put the stuff up on YouTube, and everybody has been enjoying it. I think a lot of people have listened to it, and it's just a blessing. All praises be to the Most High Yah. You know, it's good to be able to share those things. We encourage everyone to join us in our classes and just to come study with us. All praises be to the Most High Yah. Don't have a whole lot to talk about and don't necessarily have to have a lot to talk about, but, you know, I just wanted to make sure that, you know, everybody could hear me. And I think this is Brother Yerushalom. Let me see. Brother Yerushalom, is this you?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, are you able to talk?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, good. I didn't know if you were working in your garden and listening or what was going on, but I mean, I just wanted to touch base with everybody and see how you liked the class yesterday and, you know, have you been thinking about it and, you know, was there anything, you know, that stuck out? Anybody push one about the class yesterday? You know, was there anything that stuck out to you or, you know, that was going on? Because it just gets better and better every week and the Most High begins to reveal certain things, you know?
Yeah, the class is really good. The class was really good. You know, I get to learn each week. That's what I'm grateful for. But it was really good. You know, it causes you to think a lot because I was sitting there thinking about, you know, there is nothing new under the sun. And mm-hmm. this is only a thing to, recoup the one-third. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's already been done, said, written, you know.
Mm-hmm. Ain't that something? You know, because they make us think we're living this thing in real time.
Yeah.
You know, that we're making choices today. You know, that we're doing things today. But it's the choices and stuff has already been made. And that's just deep to know you're just walking out a plan that the Most High has for you. And then the thing about it is we don't even know if we're part of the one-third. We just have to walk it out and wait and see.
That's true. That's
you
so
know,
true.
We just don't
just
know.
Just have to wait and see.
Yeah. Because at some point a cut's going to be made, and then you'll be able to know, you know, if you're going to be that, if you're going to be in that number, and that's crucial. And you don't even know how many is going to be in the one-third. One-third of what? A billion? A trillion? What is the number?
Right.
You don't know.
Yeah, so true.
You know, so I just think that the more we, and it gets deeper, trust me. I'm trying to go slow because some of the stuff I'll just be like, whoa, that's too much to handle. Because, you know, when you think about Jacob, if he already gave birth to the 12 tribes, and, oh, my goodness, you know, it's, and before he was, his name was changed, you know, something had to take place in Abraham for him to even be able to do that. You know?
Yeah.
Because Abraham, the promise was given to Abraham first, you know. So in order for Jacob to have, you know, because they just wasn't 12 ordinary sons.
No, they
wasn't. Wasn't your ordinary neighbors, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know. Because it make you wonder who these people really are. You know, who are we dealing with? You know, it's crucial. It is so
makes you wonder
to think
who
about.
It makes you wonder deep down inside, you know, who are we? Who's living in your house? Who's your neighbor? Who's this person?
Yeah.
Who's that? It just makes you wonder because at some point, you know, like it said in the scriptures, you know what's done in the dark shall be revealed.
Yeah, big
you
time.
You get to see all these lies that was told, you know,
mm-hmm.
about us and who we are. All that, you know, it's like, the chicken's coming home the roost now.
Yeah. I mean, really. And, you know, it was a massive campaign set out. That was just massive. You know, and it was global. It was worldwide. You know, you think about that like, wow.
Yeah. I don't think we all really realize how deep that little bunny hole goes because, you know, that thing had to be conspired not just on Earth but in the heavens. It was everywhere.
Yeah, really, really, absolutely. And but you know what the Bible says, you know, the scripture that says, and let me find it so I can quote it because, you know, it's in there, but it's sometimes it get, you know, when the angels ask the question, they say, what is man that thou art mindful of him? You know, them angels was like, who is these creatures that you have made? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wow. It's something. It's crucial because they don't understand the relationship. That's Psalms 8, 4 through 6. You know, Psalms 8, verse 4. You know, and it says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that you care for him. What's going on with these creatures that you made, that you're stopping everything to make sure they are right? So evidently the angels don't know it either.
No. That's what's weird.
You know, some of this stuff been kept secret since the foundation of the world that the angels aren't even in, you know, in it. It says, what is man that thou art mindful of him and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and have crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things under his feet. The angels is asking that question. So it's a mystery to everybody that they are designated and designed to watch over us.
Yeah.
That's crucial. You know, that we're beings that, you know, don't even have the power that they have, but they have been designed and commissioned to make sure we be all right. It's mind-blowing to them. It's baffling. They're like, who is these creatures? You know, you run a whole universe, and we got to stop what we're doing to make sure don't nothing happen to these creatures? You know, it's something else. I'm telling you, it's a story within it. It's the greatest story that's ever been told. It really is. You know, it really, really is. But you just got to, you know, you got to hold on. You know, you got to hang on in there and wait and let Yah be Yah because he got this thing under control. He really does. He really, really does. It's a powerful thing, you know, that you know, we have, this thing has already been played out, and we are born into an ongoing storyline, you know, and that your mama, this didn't happen to meet your daddy. It was all set up.
Nope.
That blowing me away.
And that goes for every person that we meet, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So everybody talking about you was a mistake, and you know, ain't no mistakes. You was supposed to be here. That's crucial. You know, ain't no mistakes. Everybody that's here is supposed to be here. In regards to how you got here, you supposed to be here. You know, that's something else right there. There can't be no mistakes if we was predestined.
Right.
It's crucial. So that's my thing. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just saying that's a lot to think about, you know.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be no tears. Shouldn't be no crying because everything that's going to happen is going to happen.
Yeah, but you know what? It's vessels of honor and it's vessels of dishonor. So the criminal mind is the criminal mind, and they had to come do what they had to do, too, because it's good and evil in the earth. And everybody that's on the earth ain't good. You know, some people are truly evil. They're truly evil. You know? And I heard, I think it was IUIC say that one time, that, you know, crime is big business. because it keeps everybody working. You know, you got detectives, you got the police department, you got the first responders, you know, you got the crime labs, you got the court system, you got the judicial system, you got the penal system. All these people have jobs, so crime keeps everything moving. We don't think about it like that, but that's true.
Yeah.
You know?
It is true.
So they don't want that to stop. It's something, I'm telling you. It is really. But, you know, I think what fascinates me the most is how Yah, I'll say Yisrael, interacts with the earth, with the humans, how he comes down and interacts, you know. That's what fascinates me the most. And I'm like, wow, you know, this is serious business. Because, you know, even the angels are moving among us and we don't know it.
Could be entertaining them right in our face and wouldn't know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Working next to them on a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be the homeless man that's on the corner with that sign asking for a dollar. You just don't know who you're dealing with.
Right.
You know, you got to be, you know, that's why he says, you know, that we have to be careful how we treat one another, because you just really don't know.
No, you don't.
No. I remember I was going through something really, really bad. I mean, I was at my lowest point. You know, I had lost everything. I think it was a Passover it was a Bible class that we were at, and this guy walked in, and he was a big guy, you know, he looked like he was a boxer, but you could tell he was homeless. And he came in, and he sat down at the table with me, and, you know, everybody was talking about the Most High in the class, and me and him got to talking, and I said, you know, it's kind of rough right now. You know, I'm really going through, you know, it's really rough. And he just said something to me. He said, but he going to make sure everything going to be all right. He said, all you got to do is just keep having faith. He said, he going to make sure everything be all right. Just keep your faith. He said, because faith is the key. And he just kept eating. He don't know at that moment what that did for me. And I was telling him, I was like, you don't know, that could have been an angel. You know what I'm saying? He's talking about, that wasn't nothing but a homeless man. I said, you don't know who you entertaining. But a lot of people won't be receptive to it because anybody that walk up to them, they got to look a certain way.
Yep.
And that's the thing. The other day I was with my mom and my sister, and I had taken them somewhere, and they wanted to stop and get something to eat. And I got out the car because I had already ordered it for them, and I was going in there to get it for them. And this lady walked up to me, and she said, ma'am, can you buy me something to eat? Can you get me a lunch? And I went back to the car, and I was like, I asked my sister, hand me my purse. And my mom was like, nope, I got it. I'll give it to you. So she gave me the money. So we went, as we were going in the store, she was behind me, and she said, you know I'm a prophet. I said, is that right? She said, yeah. She said, may the Most High bless you. What did she say? She said, may the Most High bless you with a great blessing. Now, I ain't say nothing. I went in and paid for her food. And then, you know, when I turned around, it was another lady standing there. She was like, can you buy me something? I'm like, jeez. I tried to do those things, you know, because I just do. But, you know, it was just that she spoke that just into the atmosphere. You know, so you just don't know who he uses.
But, you know, you go back to what Christ was saying when he was asking those questions. When I was hungry, did you feed me?
Yeah, yeah.
When I needed clothes, did you clothe me? When I needed shelter, did you shelter me? Those kind of questions. I think about those things because I saw a lady here about a week ago on the corner. One of our people had a sign saying, no lights, my lights is off. You know, I turned right around. A lot of people won't do that. I turned right around in the middle of the highway, drove back over there, and gave her everything that was in my wallet. You don't know. And I mean, you know, of course, you know, people say, well, you don't know, she probably scammed. But
mm-hmm,
she was
true.
Not scammed because the sincerity on that lady's face as
mm-hmm.
I drove off, the tears
mm-hmm.
coming out of her eyes, and the thank you coming out of her eyes, she wasn't scammed.
I went through that too one time. I was going to pay a bill, and I was going to the bank to get money out of the ATM, and this man was in the bank, and he was stopping in the car asking people for something, and he came to me when I was driving out of the ATM. He stopped me. He said, "Ma'am," he said, "I just got out of jail," he said, "and I got a job, and it's making $15 an hour." He said, "I don't have enough gas to get back and forth to work for my first week." He said, "and I have to go take an orientation test, and I don't have money." He said, "can you help me?" And now I had just left the ATM, and I think I had gave him like maybe $10 or $15. And he was like, "can you help me with a little bit more? Because I need a little bit more." And I said, "this is all I have. This is my bill money. I really can't, you know, do it." And I drove off. And do you know something? Told me, turn around and go back and give it to him. And I turned back. I did like you did. I made a U-turn and turned back around. And I gave him the $40 mm-hmm. that I had in my hand. But like you said, the rejoicing that he did, you know, it was real. You know, and
right.
people be like, "well, they can get a job." Some of my family be like, "they can get a job just like everybody else can get a job. All these jobs around here, you mean they got to be?" I said, "but they don't have it today."
Right.
Sometimes you need it today. You know what I'm saying? You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that I agree with you on that one. Now, that's something that I'm with 100% with on that one, because you just know, you never know who needs something.
But think about it if it was you. You know, that's what I think about. What if it was me sitting in this situation and I really, really needed something? I would want somebody to feel pity and mercy on me. You know, that's part of when you go into those commandments, to love thy brother as thyself.
That's
you know, you're supposed to. And sometimes that loving, it gets you in a lot of stuff with people, but people don't understand what love really is.
That's true.
You know, that's the people. We think love is things. It's not. We don't look at the sacrifices.
That's true.
Or, you know, the devotion. You know.
That's true.
And those kinds of things. And that's one thing that we as a people gotta get better at. We got to learn to really, really, really love each other and not do those things that are hurtful to the other ones. And, you know, I do try to live my life like that.
Try not to hurt
people.
Mean.
And I think that's why I got out of the prison system, man, because there was too much shenanigans going on there.
Not bad. I can only imagine. You know. To be in an environment like that, and you know, it's just, that's a lot going on. It's a lot going on. It really is a lot going on.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it is, from the staff and the population and the administration.
Yep.
It's a lot going on. It really is. It really is. But you know, love is something that we as Black people haven't experienced. You know, we just haven't experienced that. And the only way we have experienced that is through Yah, you know, because that's what has drawn a lot of us to this truth, because of the scriptures that say, "I love you, I chose you, you mine, I'm coming to get you." And that has given people hope.
Yes,
I heard a pastor say, he said, a doctor can give you a diagnosis that you're going to die in 90 days. He said, but the doctor doesn't have the ability to give you that timeline, because only Yah knows when it's time that you're going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And most people start to deteriorate once those words are spoken out of the doctor's mouth.
That is true.
You know, and I thought about that. I said, that is true. He said, when the doctor speak it, you can be doing fine, and you go in and get a diagnosis and say, you ain't got but 3 months left. And then you begin to decline and deteriorate. He said, but the doctor don't really have the ability or the authority to give you a timeline because that's not in his hands to do. But what he has done is taken away your hope.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? That is so true. Because I have a family member right now today. The doctor told this person that there was nothing else that they could do. And everybody got all upset. And they went, this person is still, this. That was in 2017. They still here today. Because they relied on the Most High. You understand what I'm saying? So you can't let anybody mm-hmm. steal your joy or your hope. And prison is a hopeless place.
Yeah.
But hope is something that we have found in the scriptures now that we have to look forward to. You just got to have hope, and you got to trust y'all. That's the biggest thing. And pray. Prayer changes things. It really does. It changes mm-hmm. things. And sometimes you wonder, why I got to be here again? You know, I thought I had made it past this hump. But the enemy messes with you the most when you right at the beginning of your blessing. He do. He really do. And you be like, do I have to go do some more? You know, do I have to deal with some more? You know, but you do. Right before that great blessing comes, the enemy is always there. He is. You know, you think about King David when David was in the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines was going to fight with Saul. And David wasn't even king yet. But right when he got back to the land where he was living, they came and stole his wife, all his children, all their belongings, everything. And he had to go fight to get his family back. And the men had to go fight to get their wives back. But once it was over, guess what? Saul was dead, and he had moved into the position that he had been anointed for years ago.
Right.
Got to have some faith. Hold on. When you can't hold on, hang on. You know? Because he's going to do what's right. The Most High always will. He really will. You just got to be, you know, how to be patient, and you got to pray your way through it. Because the enemy always is there to shake up something and mess up something. All the time. That's what he do. He comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. So, no. Be encouraged. Keep praying. You a praying man. Keep praying. Everything going to be all right. It's going to work out just fine. Everything is. You know. Anybody else? How you guys like the class yesterday? Anybody, please feel free to push one. You know, because we have to encourage each other. We do. We really do.
Yes, you know. We do.
Because if not, we'd be like, man, I'd be clowning this man. Everybody don't push one. Hold on. Let me get these mics open. Hold on, you guys. Area code 858, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Oh, I was just going to say that I enjoy the class immensely. So it just opened up my eyes to a lot of stuff that I had already been thinking. So it just kind of confirmed a lot of stuff that I had already been studying, had questions about.
Well, I know one thing. That word is down in you, sis, Rich. Because it was just coming out yesterday. You just quoting scriptures. I said, look at her. You just
you
quoting
know,
scriptures.
I'm going to tell you the story behind that because I used to be a Seventh-day Adventist. I was an Adventist post since 81, right? So
okay.
Around 2012, I had agreed to be a facilitator of a Bible class. So
okay.
The Bible class started off like about two or three people. And for me, it didn't matter because I just wanted to study the word. I don't care
right.
One person there. That was my heart. So in the end, I ended up having like about 40 people. So when there was like a few, like four, five, six, okay, cool. But then you start getting a lot of people in classes, the personalities and all, it just get crazy. So when I came into the truth, you know, you get excited about it. So I wanted to share with the group. Oh, Lord, what did I do that for? From that moment on, every time I went into a class, I was just, I mean, it was like everybody seemed like they were after me. Just, I mean, just want to devour me. And so I got to a point I was just so, I would come home so depressed. I would come home exhausted. I would come home feeling like I was just spiritually dying. So I sat in the car and said, Father, I said, you know, I can't take no more of this. You know, they don't want to hear it, you know, and I just can't do it no more. So he told me, and this is what he told me. He told me he wanted me to step down from being a facilitator. He told me to go home, and he was going to teach me. And ever since he told me that, that's what I've done, and that's what he's been doing, teaching me.
You know, you can so tell, because that word is down, and you rich. You can tell. You can.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the, when he said when we hunger, he'll feed us. So I took his word for it. You know, so I just study his word. I really do. It's kind of funny because, you know, this morning I was in, I was laying down, and a lot of times when I'm in bed, I open up my phone and read some scriptures. So I was on Isaiah 45, and you know how the Lord will bring something to you. You'll read a scripture and go back here and show you something else. So I was reading Isaiah 45, and this is what really struck me. I just cried when I just cried, and so I'm thankful for sharing it with me. So it's Isaiah 45. Let's see. The part where it says, I think it's 20, because I was one by myself and the words run out of my mouth. I think it's starting at 23. Let me try 22. Oh, maybe, hold on, let's see. Okay, I'll try 23. And 23, because I kind of got some, he brought back some more scriptures that I had already read. You know, he just brings those scriptures back to you, and they precepts, I write them down and put them, you know, in my, whatever I'm reading, I just put it in that quote. So anyway, it says, 23, I have sworn, hey, this is one, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth, and righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. So That quote, every knee should bow, took me back to Hebrew.
Yeah.
Hebrew chapter. Oh, shoot. Hold on. Is it Hebrew or Rome? Sometimes. Hold on. I guess it's Romans. Yeah, Romans 14:11. So the part when he says that unto me every knee shall bow, and the tongue, not the tongue part. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth, and righteousness. So I thought about it. I thought about the scripture says that he says, I kill, I make life, I heal and I wound, I create evil and I create good. So I said, Lord, what you're saying is that whatever comes out of your mouth, whether it's evil, whether it's good, whether it's going to kill or make a lie, that you're going to accomplish that. So,
yes.
And I said, you know, Father, I look at stuff that that's impossible. The things that's happened that's evil, that came out of your mouth. It proceeded out of your mouth because when you said he created evil and good.
Yes, he did.
So I just thought that was like, whoa.
And guess what? So, and then man became, their eyes became open because they knew the difference between good and evil.
Exactly.
Girl, don't start me, because they was never supposed to know the difference between good and evil. And then that's when he said, man has become one of us to know the difference between good and evil. And that is what started the whole process of the story on. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, yeah, that's deep. That's deep right there. Yes. Yes,
now,
indeed.
Another thing, I want to ask you this. I was hoping that I would get on the class, because I want to ask you about this one, if I was seeing this right. So it says, the part where it says, the world, it says the earth. I didn't mind, so I put a lot of scriptures in here. I'm trying to see what. Let's see, come to the escape and say, tell me, bring me this. Talks about the world.
Well, you look for it, and I'm going to open up this mic. Hold on, I'm going to leave your mic open.
Oh,
Eric,
okay,
504,
okay.
Your mic is open, you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to say that I did enjoy the class yesterday, and I'm the one that had asked you about the selling of the souls and all. After you gave your statement, I said, I should have known better because you taught that over and over and over. It's all in my notes.
I said,
she had already told us that, you don't have control because it's already predestined which way you're going, whose child you are, a child of Satan or a child of the Most High. And so I felt so bad.
No, because guess what? Sometimes I have to go back over it myself. But like I said, that's what the church tells us, and that's what the deception is they want you to believe that you can just decide to serve Satan. No, it don't work that way. You know what I'm saying? Not at all.
Right. That's correct. No. That's correct.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So thank you for, reiterating that, and it made me go back, and I said, here, I had it several times throughout all my notes. So I noticed that some of the church people now, they are not saying they celebrate Easter. They changed it to Resurrection, the Day of Resurrection or whatever. And they're still believing, some of them are still believing in the rapture. And a lot of people that I bumped into are now saying that they are still in the church, but they're saying, I pray that I make it in the first resurrection. And they never said that before. They always said they were waiting on the rapture. I can't wait for the rapture. It's coming any day. So I don't know if the church is teaching that to them, but now I've bumped into several people I know that are saying, oh, I hope I'm included in the first resurrection. So I don't know.
Yeah, they're waiting on the rapture. They're waiting on the rapture to come and swoop them up and take them to heaven. You know, and that's totally different than what the scriptures say will happen. You know, that's a multi-billion-dollar event that they have made movies and all kind of things for, and they have taught, and you know, all of this. They're waiting on the rapture, so yeah, they have taught a lot of that. You know, but that's because they believe that the children of Israel are already in the land. That's why. That's where it comes from. I hope I answered your question.
Yes, you did. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Oh, no problem. Okay, hold on. Hey, sis, did you find the scripture?
Well, actually, go ahead. Yeah, what kind of? But this is, I kind of did, but the chapter 45 is talking about, it talks about Cyrus, him calling Cyrus to actually deliver his people after Babylon, after he was in there for Babylon, after Babylon captivity. And it mentioned about, I guess my question is, the whole chapter at the end, I surmise it was that the world he was talking about was the world of Israel, but he did mention the world. So my question was, because it was mentioned, let me just read the part where it says world, because the whole thing is about Israel coming out of that captivity after Nebuchadnezzar, and then Cyrus came along and he called Cyrus to deliver them so that, let them go. Let me read this part. It says, I don't think you have time to read the whole chapter. Where is it? I just had it. If you have somebody else, you say, girl, I should. I knew I was going to get on the call.
Let me open up. So 540, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes, it was a very good class. All the classes have been wonderful. At times I don't talk much because I'm not feeling well most of the time. But I, too, came out of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I was born into that religion, and I had a lot of questions, and the more I asked is the more attitude I got. I just got sick and tired the older I get with the attitude, and I knew that something was wrong. I just didn't know what that something was. So I was studying with several people. And then my husband and I decided to study together. And a pastor and his wife showed up at our door one day to know how we knew so much and how do we study. And I found that that visit to me was disruptive. But it continued for a while. And then one day, Brother William said to me, why don't you listen to this lady named Sister Yaina? I said, yeah, hey, man. He gave me a phone number, and he went to the gym that day, and I tuned in when you were on. I was sitting in my living room in a chair, and you read Genesis, was it 15:13, I think? And there's a word that you mentioned there, and I said, but I've read that, and I've studied the Bible so many times. I never saw that word. And anyway, I took my Bible for myself, and I went in the Bible and read it for myself out loud in the house, and all of a sudden the light bulb came on, and it kept growing and growing and growing to this day. So I want to say also thank you that you allowed Yah to use you to bring people like myself into the truth, because there was so much lies that I had. And I mean, it was just so, I was just at the point where I was ready to walk out. I kept waiting for my husband to be ready to leave, but it seemed like he was taking forever to leave. But I was at the point where I was ready. But he found the truth before me. I had had enough. I'm at the point, all I want from the churches, give me back my money. Give me back my money. And later, y'all, I don't care if I never see a church building, a church door, forget it. So I say thank you. Thank you.
All praise to the Most High, y'all. You know, obedience is better than sacrifice, you know. And like I'm like you all. I've always been a lover of the word. Even when I was in Christianity, I was a lover of the word. I did a lot of studying, you know, and when my eyes got open, I just jumped in at full throttle, you know, and this is what I was doing. I'm just a servant, being obedient, and we're really learning together. And it's just a blessing because I love the word. I do. I love it. And I'm like you. I try to forget about the money that I spent, and I try to forget about the money that I have given, because I went through a really hard time dealing with all those tithes and offerings and stuff that I gave, because I gave it to me, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, we did it, and, you know, that's what we did. At the time, that's what we thought we were supposed to do, and we did what we were supposed to do.
Exactly.
And I see him now still asking for money. You know, you guys got to give your tithes and your offerings, and I'm like, here we go.
That's why I understand from that young lady that's talking, when she mentioned that she came from the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I said, oh, yes, I understand very well. But Yah is such a loving father that he's so willing. He's anxiously awaiting every one of us to just come to him and ask.
Yes, yes, it has truly just been a blessing. It's like I said, it's just a new beginning. It's a new life, you know, and it's just a beautiful thing. And I I'm not angry anymore at the church. I don't get upset with them anymore because I know that it's ordained for their eyes to be closed right now. There's nothing anybody can do about it, you know, so.
Yeah.
We just keep on doing what we do. Yeah.
That's all we can do.
You know what gets me is that they will not acknowledge that they're Israel. They will not acknowledge Israel, but they will go into the Old Testament and tell the stories of Israel.
Mm-hmm. But they don't believe that it's them.
I know.
There's nothing you can do. It's left up to the Ruach. It's left up to Yah. And it's left up to Yeshua to work on these people, and if they choose, because they have a choice, he doesn't force us.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't force us. It's not by force. It's out of love and out of wanting to seek the knowledge of him. And the more we come to know him is the more we love him.
True. Mm-hmm. That's very true.
And, you know, and in order for us to know him, I always tell my sisters this, and you know, they really hate to hear it, but I just don't hold my tongue when I tell them. I'm respectful to my sister and stuff, but I'm not going to hold back the truth if I have it. So I always tell them that how how can you know him and you don't even read the word? I said, the word said that the word is life and light unto us. So how can you know anything about him if you're not reading the word? Well, I love him. I said, well, if you love him, then you should read his word because it tells you how to love him. You know, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, so I go on and on, but it's just like go through one ear and come out the other. You know, so they're so embedded in Christianity thinking. It's like, you know, I just, whenever I get a chance to talk with them, they call me. You know, I talk to them. They open up a door. They open up a can of worms. I'm going to let it out. So,
that's why I've lost a lot of friends, but that's okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, if they open it, they say something kind of open, give me an opportunity to speak, you know, speak the truth, I'm going to put it out there.
Yeah.
And I think that's why they call me as much as they used to, but they still call me, but not as much as they used to.
Yeah. Same here.
Yeah,
absolutely. All
praises
be to the Most High. Yeah, I mean,
I don't want to say this too. I like your sister. I really appreciate. There was a time when I was kind of like I had stopped coming on the call for a while because I was the reason why is because I was studying a lot of stuff that I had questions about, and I would go to the Word for it. And it's kind of funny because the deeper it brought me back to you, the deeper you, the more you want from the Most High and want to know of his word, the deeper he takes you. So a lot of stuff that he was teaching, that's what he was showing me. And I'm like, wow, so I'm not crazy. I'm not, you know, the only one thinking this way. So
there
I'm
not going
to go back, it's time to go back to the class. You know, so, but a lot of, like you said, a lot of people, you know, just can't deal with the stuff that you're teaching right now. It's because, and I believe it's because they're not asking for that wisdom from God. And what I don't understand about people is that when God said he sent his Holy Spirit to teach us, that means that he sent part of himself to us.
Yeah.
You know, and how much powerful a teacher can you have the Holy Spirit? And you know, I hear a lot of time I hear these brothers, like when I was in church, they would get up and the speaker would come in and they'd take 5-15 minutes talking about their degrees and their theologian degrees, and I would
I hated that.
He's like, Lord, the Lord don't care about your degrees. He could care less about having degrees to have, but that just turned me off.
Yeah.
You know, and I would always tell him, and one time one brother came up to me, he was from some church pastor with these different theologian degrees, and I forget, we got in a conversation, he was talking to another young lady, and he asked me a question. He asked me, are you coming back to the teaching? I said, well, you know what? I said, I put my trust in the Most High, and I said, he said, let no man teach you but the Holy Spirit, so, you know, who can teach you better than the Holy Spirit? And I said, I'm not trying to disrespect you, but I just, at this point, I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to teach me. And he looked at me like I was crazy.
He should know better as a pastor that you can't beat the Holy Spirit's teaching.
No,
that's true.
Exactly.
That's true.
But, you know, what they do. That's what they're doing. You know, just get up there on the pulpit and just brag about their degrees and stuff. And really what it was was just brainwashing people to believe that they need them to teach them. And nobody can teach them like
that. That's exactly it.
So it was brainwashing. It was flat out brainwashing.
I went to Oakwood and I studied this and I don't need all that.
No. Because you can go back to that scripture says that the scripture says that God said, cursed is a man to turn his heart to man and turn his heart from God. Cursed is a man to put his trust in man and turn his heart from God. I'm like, I'm not about to be cursed by God, so I'm gonna put my trust in him. Forget that.
Right, yeah? Absolutely. You know? Hold on, you guys. Mm-hmm. If anybody else wants to push one, please feel free to do so, you know, because the conversation is open to us all. But I agree with both of you all 100%. It's you know, but, you know, the problem is when we run into our family members and things are the way that they are, you know, they have an issue with everything. And you just have to, you know, once you mature, you just have to dismiss it. I mean, there's nothing else you can do other than dismiss it, you know. But all praises to Yah that he has allowed us all to come together to be able to do this, because it's truly a blessing. Listening to one of the, I forgot what his name is. He's a pastor. His name is Voody somebody. I don't know. Let me see how you pronounce his name. Voody. He's a black man. Bachman. Voody Bachman. And he is, you know, the reason why I was watching him is because he was on CNN, and they were talking about, you know, women and women in leadership and women that are in the political scene. And, you know, he was bringing up the fact that women are not supposed to perform any duties in the church or anything else, you know, because Paul was giving that order to the Corinthian church. And the lady said, well, what about Deborah? He said Deborah had a husband and she was, you know, she was a spiritual leader and a military leader, and she, and the Most High used her in that capacity. And he came up with some excuse that where that was out of order, you know. And it was like, you know, that's what we ran into a lot in the church, you know, when it came to the gender problem, because it's an all-male situation in most churches. Now, some of the churches do have female people that teach, and they do certain, they preach in certain churches, but that was a really big issue, you know, and that was my issue when I came over here. I was like, okay, y'all, there's no women doing nothing over here, you know, and I had a brother come up to me, and he said, Yaina, women don't do what you're doing. He said, the women in Israel don't say nothing. And I kind of got offended. I said, well, why come they don't say nothing? He said, they just don't say nothing over here. I said, well, I'm going to say something. I don't understand why we can't talk. How come we can't talk? We got something to say, you know, and it just went from there, you know. But it has been a pleasure. You know, I haven't had a lot of negative feedback from the brethren. I haven't. Matter of fact, it's been pretty positive. You know, I haven't, you know, because I try not to throw anybody under the bus, because we don't all know everything. We don't all agree with everything each person says, you know, but we're family at the end of the day, and we are, you know. Yes, and I was like, right. God, I'm talking, but it ain't no women, you know, and I, that was my hesitation at first. And he was like, do what I tell you to do. And from that moment on, that's where we are today. I mean, that's the whole reason, you know, that this has gotten started, you know, and that the Most High has allowed me to do this. And it's been a pleasure. It really has been. You know, because like I said, I've always been a lover of the word, even in Christianity. I love the word. You know, so, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, that was part of the problem I had, because they felt that I should have been quiet, or I should get my husband's permission to speak. And he says she has a mind of her own. She can think, and she can speak.
Right.
And one pastor was, he was like, I'm going to talk to your husband about this. But he never did approach my husband about it, because I think he knew Brother William was going to answer him properly. And so he decided not to bother.
That's the biggest thing, you know. But like I said, that I believe that whole enmity between the serpent and the woman would took place in the garden, and it has just followed us up until this moment. You know, I was like, yeah, you know, if you be with me, I'll go, you know, because I don't want to make enemies. It's never my desire to make enemies or have people that are you know, angry or whatever. But you know, it just is what it is, and we have to. He said, in the last days, sons and daughters would prophesy. You know, old men would dreams and young men would see visions. So, you know, regardless of what Paul said, the Most High said that in the last days it was going to be sons and daughters. You know, and that's the thing I think
prophesying and all that. Exactly.
Absolutely. And that's the one thing that I think that I've come to terms with, is that I have to keep Paul in his place. Because a lot of things that Paul written in those letters, he's repeating what's in the Old Testament. But like I tell everybody, those are letters that he has written to the church. You know, so I keep everything in the right perspective, because Paul doesn't have control over the Israelites. He just doesn't. Exactly. He does the law, and he can't change anything that the Most High has already put in place.
Hallelujah.
You know, a lot of what I'm learning about Paul, too, is when I read, like, in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians now, is that whenever he speaks about the law, he speaks particularly about a law. But when he starts talking about, like, you know, the wife and the husband and all that, it looks like he's going back to the tradition mm-hmm. Of Israel, the tradition in Leviticus, I think it is in Numbers or whatever those, the what is those laws where the law of the sacrifice laws, the moral laws, you know, the way they treat each other and the wife and the husband. But he never said it was a law. He was just teaching the culture. So a lot of times he was teaching the culture to the people too, and not so much calling it a law. So, and that's what I'm trying to think of. They talk about the women exhorting herself over a husband. Well, he's talking about a spouse and a husband, about respecting their positions. So, but then, you know, this is my perspective. I could be wrong, but I know a lot of times he would even say that it is not a law, but it is his recommendation, more or less, or his opinion. And he says that in a lot of his writings.
Right. And that's true. I mean, you know, it's all of those are true, you know, but the thing about it is that, you know, when you've been in the organized religion of Christianity and now you're out of it because of the Most High pulling you out, and you look at it overall, you realize, and I know I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I'm just going to have to say it, is that they're worshiping another deity.
They are.
Yes. Yes, they are. Yes.
And we're not allowed to do it, no matter how similar it is. No matter, even, and they're using our own book to do it. So no matter how similar it is, and no matter how much they use the scriptures, they're not worshiping the deity that is in there. They're not worshiping Yahawashah or Yahshua. Are they worshiping Jesus? Yes, whatever their image of Jesus is, and whatever what they believe it to be. Because, you know, he said, one of the guys, he was doing an interview with a black guy, and he said, the black guy asked him, you know, he said, what do you tell the people about Jesus? Is he black or is he white? And he says, I told him that the second commandment, that we're not supposed to give any image at all. So it's not supposed to be black or white. There's not supposed to be any similitude at all of what color he was. And I thought about that. I said, well, that's not true, because the only way we were given that commandment was when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, and the Most High told the children of Israel, when I spoke to you, you didn't see nothing. You didn't hear nothing. All you heard was my voice. So I don't want any similitude of male, female, any fish in the sea, any animals, any birds in the sky. He said, don't make any image of me. But the Messiah was a living, walking, talking being that was living among us. So there is a description of what he looked like. You can't go back to the second commandment and say, well, we're not supposed to give any sort of image. That's how they play with words. But then I said, well, if you don't keep the commandments, if you're going to bring the commandments in it, then why don't you keep the Sabbath?
Exactly.
Yes.
And then even going back to Joshua's ethnicity, it says that he sprang from the house of Judah, so that's a tribe.
Absolutely.
So that he had to be some kind of color. He was a person.
Go on and teach this. You go ahead and teach, why don't you? But see, that's the way they play, because he was in a congregation that was of a mixed multitude. He stood up at the pulpit very staunch and educated and said, well, we're not supposed to do that anyway because we violated the Second Amendment. I said, no, don't do it.
No. What about feet like burnt brass and hair like wool? And when you get feet like burnt brass and hair like wool?
Absolutely.
That's kind
and guess what? He walked among us, so everybody knew what he looked like. It wasn't a mystery.
Yes. Exactly. And so that means that hair and that skin, I mean, it was an ethnicity. He was describing it as a person that had a skin color and
exactly.
Hair.
Absolutely. Wait. I'm finding it because I want you to hear it. Because he did. He can't. And I was like, oh, that's a nice try, but you know, because, and this is the games that everybody plays with the words because they want to appease everybody. But that don't work. You see, that scripture worked with the children of Israel because when the Most High was on Mount Sinai, they didn't get to see nothing. But he was a living being, like you said, from a tribe. And he had a mother, and he had brothers and sisters, and he had everything. So there is an image of what he looked like.
Yes. Yes.
These are just pure wicked
or
just stupid. Ignorant.
And the people that they're ignorant with some of, yeah, that's right. You know you're telling the truth. And it's, don't even. No.
My question would be to Christians. So if you, okay, I have no problem with someone saying, you know, call the name Jesus. Okay, that's you. But if you're going to say Jesus is the true Jesus that you all depicting today, then that would be, to me, that would be a false idol, because Christ didn't break the law. Christ kept the laws. He didn't tell anyone go around. He didn't go around telling anyone that you didn't have to keep the laws no more. So how can that be Christ? You know, and I don't understand how people, why they can't think, you know, like, why would he, the laws he kept, he going to turn around and after he died, say, before he died, say, you don't have to keep it no more.
No.
That's for your sin. I mean, it's another law. So that was just, it's just crazy. It's just ludicrous. I don't understand that. I guess it's just Christian mind.
You know,
now,
but
what
you
would
have,
you say? For?
Huh?
But when you have people who don't study, you know, when you have, and like I said, this is a big issue with us anyway. When you have people who study, you can get away with that. And it's like, God, what do you mean? You supposed to go back to the second commandment. He was living among us. So everybody, it's just like saying, I can't give you a description of my grandfather because the scripture tell you don't give no description. This man was living among us. Everybody
yes.
know what he looked like. So why is it a problem? He wasn't no ghost. He was a being. He was a human being. Well, he was a being. I'll say that. But he lived among. He was a carpenter by profession, and he lived among. He ate, slept, and did all. This was a person.
Mm-hmm.
How come you get a description of a person?
He lived the experience. Oh, human.
Yeah, ain't this a mess? He did. He said, "I just don't think that's an issue because, you know, the second commandment tells us that we're not supposed to worry about that kind of stuff. So, you know, I told him we're violating the second commandment." I said, since when? Now, look like somebody know what he looked like. It's a whole piece here to explain what he looked like.
Another hidden truth.
Wow.
Yep, that's it. Hide the truth.
Yeah.
Yep.
I really couldn't believe it. I said, wow. I think I got it here. Hold on. I'm looking for it because it was like,
well,
ooh.
Personally, I believe that those who worship the Jesus they talk about, the one that don't care about you, what you eat, and you can break the laws, is teaching a false, another Jesus, and a false religion, or a false Jesus.
Now, here we go. I want you to listen to this. Here we go. Now, check this out.
Of himself. And he says, well, do you tell white evangelicals that they need to get rid of pictures of white Jesus? And you can tell when he asks, and he was like, I got you now. Do you tell the white evangelicals you preach to they need to get rid of that picture of white Jesus? To which I responded, I tell everybody to get rid of pictures of Jesus. I tell them they need to get rid of pictures of Jesus, period, because it's a violation of the Second Commandment.
But I think Jesus
a picture of Jesus is a violation of the Second Commandment. So I don't want to see any pictures of Jesus because it's a violation of the Second Commandment. And so he missed it, and he said, no. But yeah, but do you tell those white evangelicals, right? Because again, like it was a curse word, you know, you preach the white evangelical, right? I hurt my feelings, by the way. But do you tell them to get rid of pictures of white Jesus?
Tell them to get rid of their
it's
white
a grievous,
Jesus.
And so because he didn't understand the first time, I said, well, actually, pictures of Jesus are a violation of the Second Commandment. So I tell everybody to get rid of pictures of Jesus because I don't want people violating the Second Commandment.
Crazy. No, you didn't. wait. I don't want to do this, but I just got to. This time I'm going to do this. I got to. Because, okay, let's do this. Somebody, go ahead. You can go ahead and talk. I'm pulling up something.
Well, he needs to go back to the cemetery and then sign up for the real teaching.
Go back. That's what I call it. You call it seminary. I call it a cemetery.
Yes, that's what it is.
It's just dead words. This is have no means of teaching. But you know,
you're gonna get is death.
But not only that, it's like your oppressor teaching you. Why would you think your oppressor gonna tell you to teach you the truth?
Oh my goodness! And he's standing in a mixed congregation. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, okay, let's see what it says. We're gonna find out what it says today. And I'm like, how come you can't? I mean, woo! Hold on. Let's see. Here we go. These are the commandments. I'm gonna let you know what they say. Number one, thou shalt have no other god before me. Number two, thou shalt not make unto thee, this is the second commandment, any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. That's the second commandment. The third commandment says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's the third one. The fourth commandment says, thou shalt not take the name of the Most High thy Elohim in vain. And then the fifth is, honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor. So that has absolutely nothing to do with the question. Nothing.
Mm-mm. He just spit anything out. He couldn't answer it. He couldn't answer the truth.
But wow. He said, like, I'm scared. I ain't scared. I just told him, you violating the second commandment. Well, what about the one that says, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy? Because everybody knows the Sabbath is on a Saturday.
Wow. And you have those kind of pastors teaching the flock. Wow.
Yeah, big time pastor. Big time. And he said it's a congregation full of the evangelicals that's sitting in the front, and he's going through. It's like, dude, stop it. Just stop it.
Wow.
Well, that's to show you, with all those pastors not correcting him, they all came out of the cemetery. So
yep.
If people will understand that truth, they will realize they can't do better.
No, yeah. Yeah, when you say come out of the cemetery, that means dead. They're dead. They're spiritually dead.
Deuteronomy chapter 4. You know what? This is in Deuteronomy chapter 4, where the Most High told you, you know, when you was in Mount Sinai, you saw no similitude of anything. He said, therefore, don't make anything pertaining to me. But let me let the world know that Jesus, because y'all can call him Jesus if you want to, we call him Yahweh Shai or Yahshua. He lived on this earth. He was born out of the womb of the woman. And that's just like saying it's illegal to get a picture of Yaina because of the second commandment, because you're not supposed to do it. He lived on this earth. So everybody knows what he looked like.
Exactly.
But there is a difference between Jesus and Yeshua. Yeshua
is
the Son of the Living God. This Jesus that is Cesar Borgia is a different person.
And he lived on this earth.
Exactly. And in addition to that, the name that God gave him, Yeshua, means Yah saves. So what does Jesus' name mean? What is the name?
Under the Google thing on Earth, but they took it down. And when I looked it up a couple of years ago, it was saying Earth Pig. But then
hold on, you guys. I got to open this mic up. Area code 401, your mic is open. You're on the air. It's like, how in the... Go ahead, area code 401.
Yeah, greetings, Sister Ina, and all the Israelites, brothers and sisters. You know, it's been a pleasure listening to you all over these years, you know. And, you know, you're always bringing the truth. And those people who don't like to hear you, they are crooked. You know?
It's terrible.
So they are against you for bringing the truth. So now that we are wake up, we're going to walk in this truth, you know? There's no looking back.
Absolutely. And because he was able to say that, it sounded so right. But we're not talking about the Elohim that came down on Mount Sinai. We're talking about the one that was born through the womb of the woman, that actually was born, and they changed his diapers, and they fed him, and he grew up, and he became a carpenter, and he was from the tribe of Yehuda. He was a man. So why come we can't tell them what he looked like?
Exactly. Exactly. That would be denying everything about him if you were telling about his skin.
That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. That right there is the kind of stuff that I'm talking about. That there's a play with words, and because everybody laughing and joking about it, like he sounded so serious, it's like, please. He's a person. He lived on this earth. He was born on this earth. He came through the womb of the woman. It wasn't like it was the Elohim that nobody had seen in the heavenly. That's the one that told you don't make no image of him. But you mean we ain't supposed to tell you what Jesus looked like?
Can I also say, too, even in Revelation, John knew who he was. And he said looked like the Son of Man. So John, if it's the same John walked with him. John knew how he looked. And he was describing him.
Yeah, he did. And that's what the guy asked him. He asked him, so do you tell... Let me play it again. I got to play it again. Hold on.
Yeah, I got one minute, man. Go ahead. Go ahead, John.
So what I'm saying is, by the way, I love this.
Yeah,
what I'm saying is that if you go to those cities that you mentioned, yes, BLM got involved in Minneapolis and Atlanta.
Okay,
and
let me go down
this Ferguson effect was absolutely...
being an absolute fool of himself.
And he says, well, do you tell white evangelicals that they need to get rid of pictures of white Jesus? And you can tell when he asks, and he's like, I got you now.
Do you tell the white evangelicals you preach to they need to get rid of that picture of white Jesus?
To which I responded, I tell everybody to get rid of pictures of Jesus. I tell them they need to get rid of pictures of Jesus, period, because it's a violation of the Second Commandment.
But I think Jesus
a picture of Jesus
so
is a violation of the Second Commandment. So I don't want to see any pictures of Jesus because it's a violation of the Second Commandment. And so he missed it, and he said, no. But do you tell those white evangelicals, right? Because again, like it was a curse word, you know, you preach the white evangelical, right? I hurt my feelings, by the way. But do you tell them to get rid of pictures of white Jesus?
Tell them to get rid of their
it's
white
a grievous, Jesus. And so because he didn't understand me the first time, I said, well, actually, pictures of Jesus are a violation of the Second Commandment. So I tell everybody to get rid of pictures of Jesus because I don't want people violating the Second Commandment. It's a graven image. They need to get rid of it. They shouldn't be pictures of
it's
Jesus.
A graven
I got to bring you back on.
It's a graven image, y'all. So wait a minute. If I got a picture of you, says it's a graven image. Incredible. It's just incredible. This is just incredible. It is. It's incredible. It is. The picture of the right Jesus is incredible. It is it's a graven image. Oh, but wait a minute. You ain't supposed to talk now, ladies, because we girls. We ain't supposed to say nothing. Because Paul said we supposed to keep our mouth shut and sit over in the corner and don't say nothing. Wait a minute. They said because man was first and the woman comes from the man. I said, yeah, that's true. But now you can't come unless we bring you here. We
exactly.
have to bring you here. So everybody has to play a part. Everybody's
position is important. To produce.
Absolutely. You know, but we ain't supposed to say nothing because we women and we don't have nothing to say. He came from the womb of the woman. He was birthed into the tribe of Yehuda. So he was living on this earth, eating, sleeping, drinking, and everybody knows what he looked like. Hold on, Eric, Coach 214, Mike is over you on there.
I wasn't going to say anything. Oh, my gosh. People are so dishonest. So dishonest. I'm sitting here. I've looked this up. When they talk about graven, it's a carved image. And when you talk about likeness, just as you said, if you're not supposed to make a likeness, that means you can't make a picture either. You have to understand. He's referring, you weren't supposed to make an image of the Most High Yah. That was it. And so this stuff, it's just so, so incredibly dishonest. And I have found that so much has been dishonest. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, she is feminine. I've been studying this. I've just started, but I started with Genesis. In the very, very beginning of Genesis, in the beginning, God made heaven and earth. And I went to the Blue Letter Bible. That is Elohim. That's talking about plural gods. So you're talking about them being present. One of the questions that I had was, they always say that the Messiah is the second in the Trinity. I tried to find that. There is nothing to support that. He is not the second in the Trinity. If you look at how creation unfolds, you have the Elohim is working, then the Spirit moves on the water. That's the second. We do not act, and then the Word, the Messiah is the Word made flesh. He's third. He's third. Yeah. It goes right in order of family. You have the Father. You have the Mother. You have Him. He really does not come in where you see him actively doing something until the second chapter of Genesis, because then they start talking about the Lord God. That is a title that is used specifically for the God of Israel, for the Messiah. It's so dishonest. I mean, I'm just sitting here. Like I said, I wasn't going to say anything, but it's just so dishonest. And one of the things I also looked up was, what is going on when you talk about enmity between the man and the woman? This is absolutely true, because when we look at the one thing that you cannot do is blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And what is blasphemy? It's to actually deny who that person is, to actually denigrate them. When you say that she does not exist, when you say that, when you mischaracterize her, when you refuse to acknowledge her, you refuse to even do, that is absolute blasphemy. He says he will not forgive you. One of the reasons is you're supposed to depend on the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you. If you're looking for anything else other than her, you're looking for, as they say, a false god. You're looking for a familiar spirit, one that is not the Holy Spirit. She is female. She is the one who, and he says, I will send her. You know why he'd send her? It's his mom. He can trust her. She's the second. Oh my gosh!
It's just, and that is the subtle deception that everybody gets a chance to see. We just witnessed it right now. That's the subtle deception that everybody gets a chance to experience. That's what it is. And he is in a predominantly European church. That's how subtle the deception is. And it's like, wow, really.
I've just started studying, and it's apparent. I know people know this. I know that they know this. If you even read and ask one question,
right,
it'll lead you to say, "Wait, that doesn't square with the scripture." I just said I wanted to see what's happening here. Just in the very, very beginning. In the beginning, he tells us in the beginning, and then it's clearly laid out. What's happening in the beginning? You read on through. And then you go down to that 26th verse, and he says, he made man in his image, in the image of him made he them. It's specifically talking about a male with reproductive functions and a female with reproductive functions. There is no ambiguity. When he says he's making them in our image, male and female, made he them.
That's how subtle the deception is. It's subtle. And if you don't know what you talk, if you don't know them scriptures, I'm telling you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm there like, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. And like he chewed the young man up and spit him out. I'm like, no, that's not true. But we the crazy ones. You know, we're the ones that are angry. We're the ones that are we're the ones that's not teaching people right. We're the ones in a cult. It's like, really?
Exactly. We're the ones teaching.
Go back to the root of the word. Holy Spirit is female. It's feminine. I mean, it's feminine. When you talk about God, it's male, but we're talking about the Elohim. We're talking about all of them because it says God, plural.
Yes. Yes, indeed. It is. It's something, I'm telling you, it is something to understand. It's something. That's all I can say. And this is a perfect example of the things that we're talking about. This is a perfect example of the things that we're talking about. And they just sitting up in the congregation just laughing with him. They laughing with him. It's like, really, though, y'all? Seriously? Really? But that's what they do. That's how they do it. That's exactly how they do it. And you're like, wow, that is incredible. And that's how they do it.
It's just wicked. That's wicked. One of the other things I think is that he says that no man can come unless the Spirit draws them. She's the one with the power. You're not coming. You know, the Messiah, he made propitiation for the sin. He knows the way back to the Father, but he says, I'm sending my mom. You have to be drawn by her. You have to hear her. You don't hear her, you're not coming to him.
So in that mind, women are just working. And that's it.
Yeah, but we're supposed to have no pictures of each other, honey, because if you got a picture, it's an image. I mean, it's a graven image.
It's a likeness.
It's
a likeness.
Wow.
Well, even the Father's describing Daniel, too. So is that, I guess that's a... That's a lie, too. I'm an image.
Absolutely. So when John gave his description in Revelation chapter 1, I guess that was wrong. That went against the second commandment, too. Because he certainly said that his skin was like brass that had been burned in the fire. Well, I don't understand. You know, like I said, it's very subtle. The deception is extremely subtle. It is. It really
and like
is.
You said, if you not study up, you'll miss it.
Yeah, you will. Absolutely. So, you know, I just, that is incredible. That's all I can say on the matter. I mean, you know, but again, we're the crazy ones. We're no longer in Christianity, but we're Hebrew Israelites. So we're the ones that's in the cult, and we're the ones that's crazy. You know, and definitely women are not supposed to say nothing. You know, it's like, don't you dare speak up because Paul said, you know, and it's like, really, we follow the Most High Yah. We follow Israel. We follow Yahawashah, who you guys call Jesus.
Exactly. And it's like, we're the cult, and we're the one that's been deceived, but we're the one keeping the laws. We're the one keeping the Sabbath, and you're not, and we're the one being deceived. And it is crazy.
Yeah. It is. It really is. And I was just sitting there listening to him like, no, he didn't just say that. You violate the second commandment. Woo! It's just crucial. It is. It is really cruel. And that whole audience laughed like, ho, 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 ho. I mean, really? Incredible. It is. It's something, I'm telling you, but I give honor and praise to the Most High Yah that he has opened up our eyes and our understanding and that we see the deception for what it is, you know, and that as subtle as it is, that's why he tells you to study to show thyself approved, a workman need not rightly dividing the word of truth.
Yep, that's it. That's it. That's why we have to be students of the word.
But again, that's not a graven image. That is a man that walked the earth, that was born mm-hmm. from the womb of a woman, that walked among his brethren. He had a mother, a father, sister, brothers, cousins, all kind of stuff going on. And he had a profession. He worked as a carpenter. So it's no different than us having family members that we have pictures of. And John described what he looked like in Revelation chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I seen another clip with IUIC, and they were dealing with some European evangelicals, and they refused to accept it. He said, well, what do you say about that? I'm not going to be able to just honestly say that he was black. He said, but this is what the scriptures say. I understand that, but we won't be able to agree with that. He said, okay. Yeah.
Wow. You know. So that's an antichrist. He's antichrist.
Yeah. Clearly. Clearly, clearly, clearly. You know. It is really something. I'm telling you, when you see it and you know it, it's something to see.
It really is. Wow. Only the new.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the Most High wants you so much deeper in his word. Is just, you know, if only he knew how much he wanted to show them, you know, his word, the true meaning of his word. Even today, this morning I was studying, and even his word, when I think about the scripture, says that when he said that we have left the ancient, going back, when he said we have left the ancient past. And so the ancient past, we know that ancient past comes from him because he's the Ancient of Days. So I said, wow, so he's talking about his word. He's talking about actually his word. So like you said, his word goes so much deeper than we can even begin to imagine. It really does. The meaning of his word is just not a surface meaning. It goes deeper than that, much deeper.
Yes, it does. I agree with you 100%. Yes, it does. You know,
it's sharper than a two-edged sword.
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
And it cuts asunder what? The bone and the marrow.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it does. Yes, it is. But, you know, like I said, I thank him for the knowledge. I thank him for the understanding. And I thank him for his spirit, you know, because He said, let no man deceive you. And that's what he meant. He said, let no man deceive you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all praises be to the Most High Yah. Okay, so this is the end of our show. And again, it has been a beautiful show. I want to give everybody an opportunity to say something before we leave. We're going to go to area code 214. What would you like to leave the audience with before we leave?
Study to show thyself approved.
Man.
Area code 401.
Area code
401.
Well, truth has been told before. They tried to deceive us with lies, but the truth has come out, and a lot of people, they refuse to accept the truth. But the truth is what? Thank you, free. You know, he's coming back for us as he promised, and I'm waiting for that day to restore back to my land where I'm from.
Hallelujah.
I was born somewhere else whereof it wasn't given to us. He gave us our fathers, the land of Canaan that flows with milk and honey. And they gave it up because of disobedience. So now the Most High restore us his children back. So I want to be in that number. So I'm doing my best to make it in.
Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Erica 540.
Obedience is better than sacrifice. Always obey.
Hallelujah. 504.
Yes, as you bless others, the blessings will come back on you and your loved ones.
All right, area code 858.
Yes, going back to what the sister said, let us be studies of the word and let the Holy Spirit teach us. And just to leave this one verse, this is John 6:63. It is the spirit that quickens, the flesh profit nothing. The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So just, you know, keep studying his word, because it's alive. It means our life or death.
All right. Brother Yerushalayim, if you'll lead us out in prayer, we would appreciate that.
Yes, ma'am. Everybody needs to turn and try to face the east. I'll give everybody a second for that. Everybody should be facing the east now. I'm going to go ahead and lead us out in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this class. We thank you for the word that you bestowed upon us today. We thank you for the breath of life that you bestowed in everybody's body. We thank you for the love that you've shown us. May we return that love to you. We give all things. We thank you for all things and everything that you give and provide, each and everything. And I pray this prayer through Yeshua the Christ, who sacrificed his life so that we may have ours. I thank you over and over again, and we thank you over and over again for all things and everything. Blessed be your holy name, O Father Yahweh. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All praises be to the Most High Yah. And on that note, you all have a wonderful rest of your week, and we'll be here at our regularly scheduled programs. We do have all of that on the YouTube channel, Yehuda Project, and it has all our classes and date times and phone numbers and everything. Have a wonderful rest of your week, you guys. Shalom, shalom, everyone.